God's used that song since Melanie wrote it, and she had to be born again like anybody else had to be born again. The last of our children. I hear singing that song. I know that in her heart, she knows the struggle of sin. But she's the cleanest person I ever met. I got enough faith to get you hurt real bad. Amen. Right, Brother Johnny? I mean, whatever, brother. She's got enough faith to get you killed. Amen. Well, when she sings that song, Brother Randy, I got some yesterdays. I got some black spots. I got some scars. I got times when I heard them count number 10. I was down. It was done. 40 years preaching. Nearly 40 years. I've been the preacher. I've been the kind of preacher I wouldn't listen to. Been that guy. But I'm telling you. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad for what God did in our hearts tonight. I really don't know if preaching's even in order or not, but right now, but I think I have a thought that'll help you. And I think it works right here. And it's not a camp meeting message, because I don't preach many of them. Amen. It's just a, the Lord put me on another track, and some time ago I'd love to be able to, but I just end up going around. My job is to pastor a little church in North Mississippi and to go all over this country and gather up supplies and men and money for the mission field. I can do what God gave David a commission. You can't build the temple. If I could go to the mission field, I'd go tonight. Some of us had to surrender to stay home. Amen. My family's here and they know it's true. But my job is to go around the country and gather up men, families, money, things. Amen. To get people to the field. Job is. And to pastor that old church at home, that's a good jumping off place for that kind of work. Amen. So thank the Lord for that. The song she was singing about is about things that happen. It seemed like it's all over. So I want to just give you this thought tonight, and I'll try to be brief. That's never worked in the past, but I'll do the best I can with it. There's a reason I don't get to preach in the day services, all these other guys, because you do better than I do. Amen. That time thing has just been Brother Wood said, you remember what Brother Jack used to say? He used to say you've been vaccinated with a phonograph needle. Now they don't even know what that is anymore, yeah, amen. Yeah. And sometimes he said you just like your preaching more than everybody else does, and that may be the truth. But if you turn to Philippians chapter 1 tonight, now you really need to pray for me, because this is a mission chapter of a missionary letter, amen. And I can fall into my place real quick in this text. Matter of fact, if you want a great mission outline, I'll just give you one on the way by the thing. Amen? While you're there in chapter 1, you guys want to go home and preach on missions in your church. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, there's the fellowship of the gospel. It's right there in the text. You look at verse 12, there's the furtherance of the gospel. You look at verse 27, there's faith, the faith of the gospel. Amen? So there's your three missionary points right there. If you want to preach on prayer in the work of God, you find that Paul's got these people in this text on his mind, in his heart, and on his prayer list. All three of them right there in this text. Amen. But tonight I want to talk to you for a little bit
about serving God where you are.
Amen.
Or how things fall out. Amen.
Yeah.
Now watch the text here if you would. We'll set down to verse 12, please, tonight. And let me read verse 12 to you here. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So in my bonds in Christ, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other place. And many of my brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now Paul said, hey, I got word back over here, and at this time, if you want to know the historical setting of this verse, we're over there in Rome in a hired house under house arrest, and the Apostle Paul is chained to a Roman guard, amen, changing out every 4 hours. He's got a Roman guard chained to him, and there in that place, he's heard at Philippi that they're upset about the way Paul's being treated, and what's going on with Paul. They care about him at Philippi. This is really a missionary letter written back home to a supporting church, amen, to tell them what's going on the mission field, amen. And Paul said, I know you've heard about all the things that's happened unto me. He said, but don't be worried, brethren, amen. You need to know for sure, hallelujah, even though I'm chained to a Roman guard, even though God has put me here in this place, and not at this time, but down the road a few years, I'll probably lose my head, and I will right here at Rome, amen. I want you to know that these things have fallen out, and there's a key pivot word. I found out in the Bible that most verses have a positive and a negative, amen, and there's usually a pivot point in every verse, and in this pivot point is the word rather, amen. The devil meant it for evil. Hallelujah, I'm telling you, there was trouble on Satan's side. Hey, there was problems in this world. Paul said fightings within, or trouble without, amen, but it fell out rather to a furtherance of the gospel, amen. Paul said, God got me in a place where it was hard and it's trouble and it's problems, but I'm telling you, the gospel was furthered by the problems in my life. Paul said, in that place, I was chained to that guard. And I was chained to that guard. I got to preaching to these folks. And I'm just telling you, I had a guard chained to me, and I was telling about the Lord, and every 4 hours they'd change him out, and I'd get another and tell him about the Lord. And he said, Brother Drummond, so through all the palace, amen, all in all Caesar's household, everywhere around there, and the gospel's being furthered, amen, and it's going forward while I'm chained in this place. He said, I didn't have a lot of time to waste there, so I just wrote 4 books of the New Testament, amen. And I was chained in that place, amen. I just wrote a book to the Colossians, amen. I just wrote me a book to the Philippians, amen. I just wrote me the great spiritual treaty in the Bible in Ephesians, amen. I just wrote it while I was chained to this guard. Hey, you ever thought about being chained to this guard? And in the meantime, there showed up a little sinner boy. He'd been down there at Philemon at his house, and now he's stolen. He's wicked. He's wicked. He's run away from home. Some of you are children around here. You're about to make the biggest mistake you ever made in your life. Are you about to run away? You're about to run away from the only place you can get any help in this world where somebody loves you and somebody cares about you and somebody's willing to lay down their life or to take care of you. Amen. He's made some tragic mistakes and run away, but he remembered that old preacher. Amen. He came through down there one day, amen, and we started a church in the master's house. And I heard tell they had him chained over in jail. So he made a little jail. Is it amen? Yeah. So when he got in that house, well, Paul set him down, and he got born again by the grace of God. Wow, he's chained to a Roman guard.
Amen.
That's good, but that's hard.
Yes, sir, preacher.
He said the things have rather fallen out.
That's right. Amen.
He didn't say out. He said fallen out. Amen. Have you ever seen things fall out in your life?
Amen.
Honey, just fall out, Brother Johnny. I mean, we got a plan, man. Saying God's got a better plan. I said, my God, you want me to preach that message tonight, don't you?
Amen, preacher.
And they sang about yesterday. And they sang all them truths. And I got to looking around and I recognized that I'm in 2021. I guess that's where I am. Yesterday was 1982 to me, but I guess that's where I am. I mean, it was yesterday. It was kids. And it was 1982. And these kids are singing and your kids were singing. Amen. Amen. Well, there's been a lot of things fall out since then.
Amen, preacher.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
Amen. People are falling out. My health is falling out. Lord, my eyes are going. My health is not the same. My voice is gone. Amen. Things have fallen out. I've had folks that fell out. Amen. But I ain't never been chained to the Roman guard. But Paul's a missionary when he's on the high seas in a windy gale, amen. And Paul's a missionary. Paul's a missionary when he's over there on the island of Miletus over there when some kind people that needed to hear the gospel. And God said, I'll tell you what to do. I got to get me a missionary. Them kind people, so I'll send a storm in, I'll send a hurricane in, and I'll put another boat, another captain on that ship, I'll take all the pieces, and I'll blow them up on the bank, and they meet a kind people with a kind fire, and God, the work of God, hey, Paul the missionary is coming in on a whirlwind to bring the gospel wherever he goes. Because he's not... He ain't stuck in his thumb about how things have fallen. Amen. He ain't stuck in his thumb about how things are falling out. He ain't counting noses and empty chairs. He's just preaching the gospel. Amen. He's just being a missionary. Don't get what I'm saying. Just being a missionary wherever he's at. I mean, he got him in prison and it's unjust. Have you ever had any injustice in your life? It takes a shout out, brother.
Amen.
You know what he said? Hey, look at Acts chapter 28. Look at Acts chapter 28. Really, tonight, I ain't got no cotton digging idea of what Joe was talking about until he got to the end. And I was born between two cotton patches, amen. On the creek, been in it my whole life. Amen. I am a cotton picking aficionado. I know all about it. Amen. I am the bona fide son of sharecroppers. I know all about it. Amen. Paul said it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, this is verse 17 of Acts chapter 28. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, Paul, is something wrong with you? You have been through a hurricane, a storm. You've been unjustly charged, and they were going to have to finally let you go. But because somehow or another, God told you that you were supposed to preach between the Israel and the Gentiles and the kings, you have appealed to Caesar. Now you've got to go all the way to Rome. You put your own head in a sling, Paul, to get that role on Rome's nickel, amen. You flew in on the world, Rome's nickel, got there. Be real quiet, Paul. Those Jews in Rome don't even know what in the world going on with you. But you know what he does? He calls them meeting and fills them in on it. Look right here in the text. Calls them meeting, fills them in on it. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered from prison from Jerusalem in the hands of Rome, who, when they examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. He said, I think I'm going to get out of this deal. I got to do something to get on over there. So he appealed unto Caesar. Brother Toy was talking about that cup this morning that the Lord drank. The Lord showed me that verse over in Hebrews about that, Brother Toy, where it said the Lord saw it was strong crying. And so I got to look at that verse about that strong crying. I'm talking about how things fall out.
Amen.
And I know the Lord didn't want to drink that cup. But you know what I think that strong crying was about? This is just a little ellipsology, and that show don't hardly ever work. But I believe that strong crying was, Lord, don't let me die here. Let me get to Calvary. I believe he scarred it with tears. Lord, that strong cry, I'm taking this cup, and it's a cup to kill the world. The wages of sin is death. I've already been beaten more than any other. I'm already bleeding out now. I'm a wretch of a man. I've already sweat drops of blood, and I'm strong crying. Them three times he was praying, it wasn't just bringing his will together into line with God. He was saying, God, keep me alive. Let me finish my course. Let me get to Calvary. Let me pay the debt. Amen. Think I'm on to something, Brother Grady? You know why? This thing's falling apart.
Yes, sir.
They had a great number of people born again last year in Papua New Guinea. I mean to tell you, our hearts are all over the whole world, but we got a special heart in Papua New Guinea. And people getting born again everywhere. What happened, preacher? They had a massive earthquake. Shook the buildings down everywhere. How many aftershocks do you remember? For over a month, every day, earthquake. And then people were scared to death the earth was going to open up and swallow them in. You know what they wanted to do? Get right with God.
Yeah.
Amen. It shook the missionaries' house sideways. Tore up everything, shook down churches. Fell out, man. But in the falling out, gathered them in. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, when the life's falling out, that's an opportunity to start gathering them in.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It fell out to the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
Look what he says there in that text. He said, verse 20, "For this cause, therefore, I've called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with a chain." So what is that chain binding? I just read it in the Bible.
Amen.
I'm bound with this chain.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. And they said unto him, "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came to show, nor spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear what thou thinkest. And as for concerning this sect, we know everywhere that it's spoken against." And he came when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. Hey, what was he preaching out of? He wasn't preaching out of Ephesians. He wasn't preaching out of Colossians. He wasn't preaching out of the gospel. He was preaching out of the law of Moses, amen. The Son of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And some believed the things which are spoken, and some believe not. I'm bound with this chain. I need to call the Christian Law Association. I'm having some problems, and I'm being ill-treated, and I need to get some help. It's not right. I shouldn't suffer injustice. Paul said, "Hey, I got me a chained audience here. I got a child. I'm sending a missionary back to Caesar's palace every 4 hours, amen. They're piping them in, chaining them down to me. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to them. I slay old Nicodemus to the Lord, wrote a letter, sent him back home to Philemon, amen. And they got that thing patched up, wrote 4 gospels. I'm just telling you, called in the enemy, gave him enough stuff to prosecute him with, amen. And just kept why? So he could further the gospel. Now I love my Old Testament. And one of the reasons I love it is because I like pictures. I'm a storyteller.
Yes, sir, amen.
I like to tell stories, amen. And I like that Old Testament because I like to see some stories, amen. It's kind of like y'all still with me? It's kind of like when you get that bicycle in the mail and you're going to put it together for them kids and it says take locking nut A and put it on retaining bolt B and lock it down with locking washer C and wrench 3 times and you take time to figure out what the world is talking about. So you just get your little page and you open it up and you see a picture. And you say, "Oh man, I got that." You just take a 716 nut, put it on that stud and tie it down.
Amen.
So God, Paul wrote these sayings to us in his book, kind of hard to understand, but he's showing us in the Old Testament these pictures.
Yes, sir.
Now I got one of the weirdest ones you've ever seen line up with this.
Go, brother.
I think it'll give you the point. And then I'll give you two or three thoughts and I promise you it won't hold you no longer. Amen? Because Joe's done preached the cotton picking whatever out of you. Amen? Amen. You remember over in 2 Samuel? Now, oh Lord, this is that text. I got in that thing 2 hours. I promise you, I'm behaving. This is about Joab. And Joab is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. I've learned a lot about Joab. I've come to know him very well. I don't understand that bird. But I like him somehow or the other. I mean, I like the guy. I mean, I know all kind of people are dead, and I don't talk to no trees like he was talking about doing. I don't do that. I just read books.
Amen.
Oswald Chambers was one of my great friends.
Yes, sir.
So I read his books. F.B. Myers, one of my great friends. Oh, I love him when I read his books. Amen. I like those men. Amen. Oh, glory. I like those men. I like some of them ladies that I read. I read some books ladies wrote.
Amen, preacher.
I like them, boy. Help me. But over here, David's got a dilemma. We're in a, I think he was talking about 2 Samuel chapter 20. And in 2 Samuel chapter 20, David, Absalom's dead. Joab got killed him. And David said, don't kill him, but Joab. The one thing about Joab is, he is fiercely committed to David.
Amen.
Now, this guy ain't got no morals. He ain't got no compassion. I mean, this dude walks around with blood in his shoes. Not somebody else's blood. This guy will put his arm around your neck and stick a spear in your fifth rib. And throw you out of the way and keep marching like a dog. Like you a dog. Amen. But in this text, I'm trying to make this point, and I promise you, I'll give you a thought. He goes out in chapter 20. Is your Bible turned to that page, please? All right. I want to read it. Somebody got it there. I got to have one big enough I can see the words. Just read it for me, verse 10 when you get there. One of y'all got it already? Man, you guys can't. Ain't no Bible drilling for you people, is it? Amen. So Joab goes out. What happens is, read it, Daniel, out real loud. Yeah. Ain't that the verse I'm looking for?
Amazing.
Yeah.
But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's
hand. Hey, read the verse in front of it.
And Joab said to Amasa,
no, one more, back up. We're going to get to that garment.
When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him. And upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand and kissed him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand.
Yeah.
So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground.
Yeah.
And he struck him not again and he died.
Okay.
Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri.
All right. So if any of you guys ever say, I got a bunch of guys always running around, I'm not picking y'all about them beards, amen. I'm not picking on you about that. Grow them things, I guess, if you want to, amen. Somebody said, just show it to me in the Bible. I said, if Joab was around, you wouldn't be safe with that beard. And in the real redneck scrap, it's a good holding place. Yeah, man. And that's the truth, because nobody, if you're 12 foot tall or whatever, when them eyes start watering, it's done. I understand that. I understand that work. But let me just go back to something spiritual here. I already got a murderer I'm trying to tie into the Apostle Paul. Now look what happens. Now what happens is, Joab kills Absalom. And David's mad about it. He's upset about it. But Joab comes and tells him, David, if you don't quit that crying, you're going to lose the whole kingdom. You loved your boy more than you even loved us that went and fought. Now, they're cousins, so cousins can talk to him like that. Because David's nobody to mess with either. So David looks out there and he says, I'll tell you what. Absalom is hanging in a tree dead because he tried to ride his daddy's mule. You better leave your daddy's mule alone until God gives you one.
Amen.
And he's hanging in a tree dead. And now all of a sudden, y'all with me still?
Yes, sir.
All of a sudden, Joab comes by, takes his life, commands it, and he puts David in order. Well, David knows, really can't nobody mess with Joab but him.
Amen. Right.
Last thing he tells Solomon is, don't let Joab go down there. I'm telling you, if you leave Joab in the kingdom, you won't have a kingdom.
Amen.
Because can't nobody handle Joab but David. Well, I ain't there yet, but I'm getting there. Now, David makes a, in my estimation, and who am I? I just live between two cotton patches. But David makes a dumb decision. He takes Absalom's captain, Amasa, which is also kin. I don't like to go to them churches because everybody's kin over there. Study this book a little bit and you're going to find there's a whole lot of cousins in it. And when we get to heaven, going to be a lot of brothers. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
So he makes a political move and he says, okay, I'm going to unite my kingdom by taking Amasa, he loves me too, that Absalom's leader, and I'm going to put him over the army in Joab's place. Now, David, you fixed to get somebody killed. So he says to Amasa, maybe he's smarter than I think he is. Maybe this is not a dumb move. Maybe David needs to get rid of Amasa and he knows the man that'll do it.
Yep. Right.
Just maybe, I don't know. So anyway, he sends Amasa out. Shimei showed up. He's another story altogether. He's cutting up, carrying on about David. He makes a run, hides in a city. And David says to Amasa, you're the captain now. Go gather Israel together. Go get this man. Amasa takes off. But nothing's happening. He's not getting them together. Israel's not going to follow Amasa. He's Absalom's man. So Joab's just standing there in the kingdom. Joab don't know but one thing. Some years ago, I climbed that mountain. And I threw down on people. And I'm David's bodyguard. I'm the head of David's army.
Right.
And wherever David's at, and whenever David's in danger, I am there.
Amen.
That's all he knows. So, but David's still mad at him, so he looks over to Abishai, Joab's brother. He says, take my guard, the Pelethite, the Cherethite, take the guards, go out there and find this guy, figure out what's going on. And so our Bible says plainly there, that's Joab's brother. And I bet he's thinking, tag, I'm it, man. Because ain't nobody talking about Joab. Joab is not a man not to put in your heart. I'm talking about things falling out. And so Joab, if the Bible says he takes Joab's men, and he goes after them. Joab goes too. It doesn't seem like he's wearing a sword. Seemed like they took his sword. I don't know if that happened or not. But he girds one in his garment. Because he's Joab. And he goes out with his brother Abishai. And I'm guaranteeing Abishai is wondering, how is this going to work out? And they meet down there by the great stone, and Amasa's been fooling around. He's got a few little folks to follow him, but not much. And they walk up down there, and Joab's standing there, and when he goes up there to meet him, the sword falls out. Now, you want to believe if you want to that he dropped it. That's okay with me. On purpose. It's all right with me to believe that if you want to believe that. But my Bible didn't say it. It said it fell out. And it said it fell out, didn't it, Brother Johnny? It fell out. Now, whether it intentionally fell out or just fell out, now, you don't listen to one guy preach on cotton picking all night. You can stay with me a few more minutes. You fell out. Now, the one place you don't want to be is in a knife fight with your weapon on the ground.
Amen,
falling out.
Amen.
This thing's over. Joab's here. Mesa's there. His sword fell out. It's on the ground. It's done. But something's rising in Joab's heart. He knows Amasa can't take his place. Amasa rode with the enemy. Amasa would have killed my Lord David. You know what Joab did? He caught that guy by the beard, and while he was looking, thinking about how wonderful it was to have that job, he was reaching for that sword. And that bloody murderer stuck him under the fifth rib and killed him. Because all he knows is, I'm supposed to take care of David.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right. Yep.
Amen.
Now, watch this illustration. I can give you some real scriptural points and we can quit. A draw from here or a draw from here. I believe Amasa's a younger man. I tried to run his life down, see who his people were. So the old man may not have had enough reflexes. May not enough have wherewithal.
Yeah.
But he had enough to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
The Bible said Abner dies, a fool died. You get Joab's arm around you, you're in a fool's position.
Yeah.
Stay out of arm reach. What are you telling me? As long as you can still reach your sword, brother, the battle's not over.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4 says that our book
Amen.
Is a two-edged sword, amen, able to divide asunder. And I'm telling you, the song and sung, as long as you can still get to your sword, amen, it may have fell out. It may look like it's over with. It may look like it's all done. You hear what I'm telling you? But as long as you can get your hand on that blessed old book that you hold in your hand, that you love it from beginning to end, it calls within it the power of life, amen. And the civil battle is not over as long as you can get your hand on your sword.
Amen.
Today, let me tell you what to... I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet. I don't know why in the world I write all these points down for. 35, 40 years of preaching, I ain't never been able to use them points. I used to could preach pretty good messages and the Holy Spirit give me a little touch and I can't do nothing more but just preach. The outlines went out the window. Some of us here today are coming into a time in our life for such a time as this.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
Right. You right? Don't you think I'm right, preacher?
Amen, preacher.
Such a time as this. Hey, tag, you're it.
Yeah, amen.
You're it. Amen? You know what I'm telling you? Things fall out wrong.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Could I say to you, you may end up, I hope you never have this happen. You may end up at the courthouse. Dealing with some real bad problems.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you don't have to sit down in the corner because you can still reach your sword.
Yeah.
You can still get to your knees. Amen. You can still even chain to a Roman guard. You can lead Omniphorus, or whatever his name is. You can lead him to the Lord. Amen. You can still preach the Word of God. You can still go forward. It don't matter. Amen. How messy the situation is. You just keep on serving God. Wherever don't serve God. Wherever you are, amen. You are the missionary at your job. You are the missionary at your home. You are the missionary when you drive down that road, amen. You are God's light in a dying world. And I don't care how dark it is. You just serve God how you are, there you are, and do what God gave you to do. Amen. Amen. I ain't never seen a time in my life where independent Baptists are, I'm glad. I am tickled. I'm glad that Carl Ackney and Jack Wood and those men are not here to see what we're looking at today. And these little old white, hey, the culture of crying. Amen. Hey, that's every our culture of cries. Amen. I'm just out a lot full of sissies. We read the roll up and quit. Every time we turn around, hey, Joab, I died. Joab died because of what he did to do what God gave him to do.
Yeah.
Good.
Everywhere I look, I'm going to catch the cold. You probably going to get it. I hate you going to get it, amen. Hey, but don't look at us. We didn't give it to you. They sent it to you more out of China, amen. My God, your people poisoned us. Amen. And God knows what He's doing about it. Amen. I'm not telling you, I wash your hands, wear your mask, do whatever you want to. I'm not ratting on you. I'm not running you down. You just do whatever you want to do. Well, I'm telling you one thing to do. Come out from under the bed and serve God. It's time today, brethren, to be counted. That's what Brother Joe was preaching about. It's time. It's time now to stand up and be counted for the glory of the Lord. I mean, man, the sword was on the ground. As far as we're concerned, the battle's over. But our old boy's got an eye on that sword. And he knows in that book lies the answer, amen. In that book is the Son of God, our life in this world. It's a spiritual book. And it'll keep you going. Hey, when you reach the book, you can keep going. Some of our dreams fall out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Right.
I was going to marry this little boy, and I found out he's just wicked. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Cry, pray, wipe your eyes, and keep on serving Jesus. Amen. And every day, thank God that He left you for you. You had to go to the lawyer to get it done.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Serve God.
Yes, sir.
Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have you ever seen a time? I've never seen a time in my life where as many Americans are trying to figure out some way to retire. I got a whole bunch of preacher friends that always wearing me out. Brother Ellis, are you thinking about when you're going to retire? Yeah, when I'm dead. You think I'm blowing smoke?
Come on, brother.
But this ain't just preaching. I'm telling you, when I'm dead.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Brother Daniel came back home to be with me and to work in the church with me, and I got cancer.
Yeah.
And it was bad cancer. And I thought I was going to get out of here. But it didn't work that way. So he told me, he came in today, he said, Daddy, all the world is doing here. He said, my God, you got cancer, you're taking chemotherapy and radiation, and you're still preaching every service.
Amen.
What am I doing here? I said, you're helping me, I can't get in the pulpit. He put me in a pulpit, and I preach it like I'm preaching now. And then when I get through there, he'll come get me out. If an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church can take a Baptist preacher taking 100 milligrams of prednisol every day, they can take anything. They can live through anything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is, so you're sick. I know you're sick. And I know you're troubled. And I know your kids broke your heart. And I know the government's gone haywire. And I know that they hate our book and they dishonor our country. What are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. Amen. I'll reprove and rebuke and exhort and they're all long suffering. What are you going to do? Hey, what are you going to do? They come shut you down. I ain't going to shut.
Yes, sir.
Governor of Mississippi tried to shut our churches down. We went to a little old meeting. They had a conference call with all the supervisors in the state. And they called. I was there and suddenly they said to me, talked to me, they said, Brother Ellis, none of us ever dreamed that we would face this kind of a thing. They got to me and I said, well, sir, your problem is, as one of the Old Testament prophets said, you sought knowledge, but not from me. Amen. I said, you could have asked any fundamental Bible-believing pastor, and he'd have told you, hey, this is coming in a whole lot more, cowboy. And whatever you do now is a starting place. It's coming down the road. It's going to keep on coming. Amen. He said, what do you suggest? I said, the first thing I suggest is quit using that stupid word about the church not being necessary. Amen. Quit using that. And the next thing, we'll open the churches back up. He said, well, we're going to consider it. I said, no, sir. Mr. Governor, you got this wrong. I'm not asking you permission from nothing. We belong to God. Amen. God put that place there. God bought that place. God owns that place. And I'm having church next Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Come on by if you want to.
Amen.
It all fell apart. But you know what happened? We went back to church.
Amen.
Y'all did the same thing.
Amen.
I ain't read, don't know nobody was in a state that they could. But in Mississippi, they, you know what? You know how that worked? Governor kind of thought like I did about it.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Fox News came down, made a big deal about how they were shutting churches down. My brother down there in Greenwood was out taking his picture with the police, how they wouldn't let him go to church. I called him up. I said, that's all over, cowboy. I met with the governor yesterday. That's done. And you know what I told him? He said, y'all just go to church. He said, y'all just go to church, Brother Rick, and have church. And the sheriff stood up and said, I'll never enforce it. And I said, no, sir. We're Bible believers.
Yeah.
I teach my people to obey the laws. And I said, you write me something down, amen, that says that we can go to church or I'll break the law and hide out while you ride them down the road and seek your permission.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good, brother.
Amen. You know what he did? He wrote something down and said, would you do an infomercial and explain it for us? I said, yeah, I'll be glad to. It was easy, just like Brother Joe preached. Y'all come to church.
Yeah,
tell me that all these 100,000 people gonna die, and they're gonna be in hell, and I'm supposed to be sitting at home or with a mask on my nose worrying about it.
Amen.
Amen. We walked through biting dogs. I've been in the malaria wards. Hey, I've been in the AIDS ward rooms and prayed with AIDS patients dying, holding them. I ain't worried about no COVID, amen. I'm telling you, God sent us here to do a work. What are you gonna do? It's all falling apart, but go to work.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense at all?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Go to work. Well, hey, I'm trying to tell some of you young guys, don't let these people sway you.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got to compromise with the government.
Yes, sir.
You ain't got to drink the modern day Kool-Aid. You're God's man. You got a calling from another world out there, cowboy.
Yes,
there's something blowing around in your soul that comes from heaven on the other side. We're not asking permission to do what God told us to do. Now, they may tie us to a stake. I don't think that's coming here to it. And they tie us to a stake, and they run us through, and they take your tax exemption. I believe that's going to happen.
Amen.
Yeah.
May fire you from your job.